Alrighty then, greetings and welcome to North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and of course the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. Tim Kearns is off tonight, and we are back. It's been a while since we've been here. We had last week off because of the holiday, and you got holidays coming up this week too, don't you? Well, alrighty then, we're going to try to get caught up with some interviews and some football talk, among other things, here this evening. And I want to start off, first of all, by saying what a fabulous weekend I had in Philadelphia. I went down with my producer and engineer, and we met my daughter down there, who goes to Drexel University, and along with her boyfriend. And we went over to, on Saturday, we visited the home of Barry Hanrahan, his second home anyway. Maybe it's his third home. Barry, GHS graduate of 1986, was in a couple of my math classes, including Algebra 2, I believe, as a sophomore or as a junior. And Barry has risen through the ranks of the National Hockey League, and right now he is an assistant general manager and a vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers. And Barry was, he hosted us. The Flyers had a tremendous game. They were down 5-1 to Tampa Bay in that afternoon game on Saturday. Came roaring back, scored four goals in a row with about a minute left to go. They just missed taking the lead, and then they unfortunately lost in overtime. But what a spectacular game. And if you've ever been to that, the sports complex in Philadelphia, good heavens. I don't want to say it puts Foxborough to shame, but good heavens. Oh, my. The Wells Fargo Center is a city unto itself. And, of course, the 76ers and the Flyers are make their home there. And then in the same facility, not the same facility, but in the same area, in the same complex, is the football stadium, and they have a baseball stadium as well. And I don't know what the capacity is for each of those, but I'm thinking along the lines of it's big. It's big. You could probably put 20,000 or more in the Wells Fargo, and then in each of the other stadia, you could probably put, 50, 60,000, I'm thinking. They're just huge, and they're beautiful. Barry hosted us, and it was funny. We got there around 12:30, and I was a nervous purvis. And, of course, we had great seats and just a spectacular view, and it was box seats, you know, like luxury box seats, and spectacular view. And then he texted us and said, you know, let me know when you're in your seat. So I texted him. And, of course, if you've been at the Garden, if you're on one side sort of down on the ice, you look way up to the ninth floor. That's where all the broadcast booths and the executive offices are. Well, it's the same thing at the Wells Fargo Center, and I don't know how many stories up it is. It's at least nine stories. But you could see he came downstairs to say hello to us, and he pointed way up there, and that's where the office, or at least that's where the viewing is for the president and the executives of the Flyers. So he had to go back upstairs during the game, and then after the game, we were treated to a tour of the building, and I wish I knew the Flyers and Lightning. Good heavens, I blacked out there for a minute. I wish I knew them by face, but I don't, because we saw many, many, many of them downstairs. And I think the thing that was most impressive, as it is at Gillette Stadium, is that from top to bottom, Barry's at the top, and of course, down on the bottom is the locker rooms. Every single employee that we ran into was gracious, polite, courteous, smiling, and just couldn't have been treated better. So I want to thank Barry Hanrahan for doing that. Class of 86, and a really class act. And everybody in Gloucester who knows Barry just has nothing but good things to say about him. So really, really appreciate that. That was an absolute blast. So now I have to follow the Flyers, and I have to follow them in the standings. And I told them, I said, you know, Flyers, okay, if the Bruins can't win the Cup, then I will certainly hope the Flyers do. Just a terrific, terrific weekend. Tonight we have coming up mostly football, not necessarily all, but a couple of other things I do want to mention. We're going to be talking with Jim Pugh, the Hamilton Wenham football coach, about the upcoming game with Ipswich on Thursday. Thanksgiving talk. Naturally, we'll also follow that up with Kevin Fassett. He's the Ipswich football coach who will be facing Hamilton Wenham on Thursday. So we'll get a little bit of an idea of what the flavor is for that game. We'll also be checking in a little bit later on with Sean Driscoll as the St. Mary's Spartans are going to the Super Bowl. And of course, so many other schools, Swampscott, Gloucester, Danvers, Hamilton Wenham, just missed it this year from the region. But St. Mary's made it, and they'll be playing Blackstone Valley, I believe it is, Blackstone Valley in the Super Bowl. I don't have the times or dates, but we will talk with Coach Driscoll. Maybe he's got that. We're hoping to check in with Brian LaFada later on. He's the athletic director at Gloucester High School. We will be checking in with Andy St. Pierre. And Andy is it is recorded. So we'll check in with Andy St. Pierre, who is the director of athletics at Danvers High School, and see what the story is about Thanksgiving in Danvers. And also, you know, kind of take a look back each of these schools and see how the fall season was overall. The football lineup for the Super Bowl is posted, and we can mention that later on. I'm not sure it's all that important, except for the fact we'll be talking with Sean Driscoll. But of note is that some of the games that are scheduled for Thursday are being moved to Wednesday. Now, that hasn't happened here on the North Shore yet, as far as I know, but I believe it's happened up county. Is that the right way to say it? Let me see. I've got a text here that didn't go out. I just want to check Twitter to see if there have been any changes. I forget what school it is, but somebody, I don't know if it's the Merrimack Valley Conference, I think. And they're changing the schedule due to the fact that the high temperature for Thursday is scheduled to be 23 degrees with wind. Mike Cirullo is reporting from the Newburyport Daily News. He said, this is his tweet, seeing reports of a few Thanksgiving football games being rescheduled to Wednesday night to avoid the frigid weather coming on Thursday morning. I've been told there are no plans to move the Newburyport Amesbury or the Pentucket Triton football games. They are on as scheduled. So if you know of anything different from that, why don't you email it to us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. So, it is Thanksgiving week, and it's a holiday that most people really seem to enjoy, and it's not that stressful, I guess, for most, although I imagine those who are doing the cooking, there's got to be a little stress involved in that. There's also a tweet up here from the Stoneham Sun about Stoneham going to the Super Bowl, and of course, they were winners over Hamilton Wenham. And I'm just seeing if there's anything else here about time changes. I don't see anything. So again, if you know of anything, let us know, msonewsports@gmail.com, and we will ask Brian if we get a chance. Now, Brian LaFada is hosting the parents' winter sports meeting this evening. So I'm not sure we're going to be able to check in with him later on, but we're going to give it a try. All right, we will take our first break of the evening, and I know everybody's gearing up for a big football game tonight on TV as well. And when we come back, we will be talking with Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh. This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore. It is Thanksgiving week, and feels a little bit like winter out there, doesn't it? We'll be right back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. We treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill. At the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
All righty then, we are back, and once again, it's my pleasure to bring on Hamilton Wenham football coach Jim Pugh of the Generals. And Coach, welcome back.
Thanks, Rick. Always great to be on your show.
I tell you, it's Jim. I was just thinking about this earlier before I started this. It seemed like August was yesterday in so many ways. But on the other hand, there's a certain fatigue that sets in with me in terms of all the stuff that we do with football and so on. And I'm not out there like you guys are. Does time have that effect on you guys too? Because it's a long season in one way, but geez, it seems like it was August just yesterday.
Well, to be perfectly honest, not this year, and it's never about the wins and losses. It's about the kids and staff. We have great staff and tremendous kids, and we enjoy, you know, spending time together. So it really hasn't dragged. I mean, there are years where you might have, you know, with kids that, you know, it's not as enjoyable, or, you know, when it works. But I would say both the years that I coached, it's enjoyable. I mean, we get along as a coaching staff, and then we like the kids. I think they like us, and you know, it's a, it's a lot of fun, and that's the camaraderie that I think, I was at our youth banquet yesterday, and that was one of the things that, you know, I talked to the kids about. You don't get that in every sport because you don't have that camaraderie that you're spending hours and hours, mm-hmm. like August right through Thanksgiving and hopefully after Thanksgiving.
Well, that's it. The coach, you guys put so many hours in. That's the other thing, because in football, you start. I mean, it's not just an hour practice, or like in hockey, you have a couple of games, but you can't practice on game day and so on. And you have two or three games a week. But you guys, it's intense. Plus, you have eyes in the building, which helps. But it's you guys are an extension of teaching. Is really what it is.
Well, it really is. I mean, that's why, you know, most football coaches refer to it as not the football team, but the football program, because the program, it's a year round, and you know, kids are working year round. Not that all the other coaches are not working just as hard as we are, because I know they are. The basketball coaches, baseball, lacrosse, hockey, soccer, they're all cross country. Everyone's working hard. But, you know, I mean, In football, you know, we're going to practices in the summer. We're watching, you know, the colleges. It's a full-time
mm-hmm.
commitment, but that's what we want. I mean, we go to clinics, and, you know, I mean, like I said, there are a ton of coaches in other sports that do the same thing, but it really is probably one of the most important things in football. You can't just keep, you know, rolling out the balls and doing the same thing over and over. You gotta get better. You gotta learn more, and that's what we do with football and the practices. You know, although they can get boring, the kids never get boring. You know.
Well, that's for sure. Yep.
That's the fun part.
Jim, the
Rick, with the teaching. I mean, you know, the kids. The kids keep you young, so that's the nice part about it. It's a great career, and it's fun to, you know, to hang out with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, and it keeps you young.
Well, and the big thing is, Jim, when you see the light goes on, because I've seen I still have this. It's going to be a lasting memory. Over in Manchester, in the semifinals after the game, when. I think it was Nistel made that stop with a kid headed for the end zone. Talked to Sam Weber after that, and Sam Weber was beaming, and he had a great game, but he was beaming about Nistel, and that's all he talked about. It was his teammates, and it's like, man, these guys really get it.
Right. And you know, as I said, you don't have 100% success with kids, but, you know, you take a kid like Sam Weber, you take a kid like Billy Whalen and Tommy Monahan and Henry Smith and Quinlan Kelly and Michael Moynihan, and they care more about each other than they do about the success. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a cliche. I mean, I truly believe that they root for each other as much as, you know, they do for themselves. So says a lot about the community. It says a lot about their parents. And, you know, and as I was at the youth banquet and said, I mean, you know, the most important thing that youth coaches can teach the kids, you know, we're lucky. We've had some great youth coaches that know a lot of football, but it's not the football that they teach. It's the competing, the competitiveness.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that, you know, that you want the kids to learn about self-discipline and what the game is all about.
I know Coach Ingram always mentions self-discipline and character. I want to change the subject here a little bit, Coach, and because it's Thanksgiving week, I just wonder, are there any rituals that the team goes through that you've sort of brought down as the years go on? You change this week? Any rituals for Thanksgiving? And then I'd like to know, you know, what the Pugh family does, because you guys are so involved in athletics and everybody's scattered all over the place. So how does Thanksgiving work for you guys?
Well, Thanksgiving, as you know, my daughter Ann and her husband Carlos are up in the area, so we'll get together. But my family, you know, it's always been in New York or Washington,
mm-hmm.
so I miss out on that. But you know, I'm able to make up for that at other times during the year. But the Thanksgiving Day game has just become just a part of our lives, that, you know, that we just know that this is going to be a big day and that the kids are excited. And I was not, you know, I grew up on Long Island. We did not have a Thanksgiving Day game, and there's nothing like it. I mean, you know, I've talked to other guys that have played college, high school football, college football, pro football, Mark Bavaro. I mean, they talk about the Thanksgiving Day game, and that there really is nothing, you know, quite like it. So it's become a tradition. I've been the head coach now. I've been head coach for close to 30 years, and Thanksgiving is an exciting time.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Coach, it's been so much fun this year, again. And you've made it so much fun for certainly for me, but also obviously for your team. And I guess is dress warm and good luck on Thursday.
All right. Well, Rick, you have a good one too. And, we will be dressing warm.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving, Coach. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. That is Jim Pugh, who is, the coach of Hamilton Wenham. They just missed it. Stoneham beating them in the North, D7 North Finals. Nope, D6. I had it right the first time. D6, Stoneham against Old Rochester. Stoneham beating Hamilton Wenham earlier. But Coach Pugh, another successful year for the Generals. Also, another successful year for Kevin Fassett at Ipswich High School. And we're going to check in with Coach Fassett in just a minute. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore. We'll be right back.
Harrington Trophy has been rewarding the North Shore for over 30 years with quality custom awards, screen printing, embroidery, and more. We pride our family-owned business on our exceptional customer service and quality products for the right price. Custom t-shirts, sweatshirts, warm-up suits, hats, along with the area's top trophies, plaques, glass awards, we are the one-stop shop for end-of-the-year banquets or advertising your small business through apparel. Come see us at Harrington Trophy, Chestnut Street, Lynn, or harringtontrophy.com.
Dining at the Gloucester House is a great North Shore tradition, as they specialize in locally caught North Atlantic seafood. World-renowned for its lobster dishes and fresh seafood specialties, offering private dining, catering, and fabulous functions, there is something for everyone at every occasion at the Gloucester House. The Gloucester House Sunday Brunch is back, running from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., $20 for adults. The Gloucester House, 63 Roger Street and gloucesterhouse.com.
We serve the freshest seafood from our boats to your plate.
All right, we're back. You know, and when we did live radio, now this is live streaming, when we used to do live radio, we'd always mention the time and the temperature when we come out of a break, but because this stuff is up there and recorded and it runs on forever and we have on demand, we don't do that. But for anybody who's interested, it is 7:20 right now in the evening here on this coast. Anyway, I want to say welcome back once again to Ipswich High School football coach Kevin Fassett. Coach, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You know, another good year for you guys. I know that everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl, but not everybody can go to the Super Bowl. But maybe you could give us a little thumbnail on how you grade out your team with report card and how you guys did this year, because you had a very successful season.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was some good stuff and some stuff we definitely want to clean up. You know, 7-4, 7-3 rather, is a good record for us. And there's a lot of things we'd like to clean up and do some stuff. But you know, being such a young team, with so many sophomores on the field and even some freshmen mixed in there, with only four seniors, I think we've done a pretty good job. But I think to cap off the season, you got to end it the right way. So, our goal definitely is focus is on Thanksgiving this year.
Yeah, the last game, especially Thanksgiving, it stays with you. You know, it stays with you, win or lose, and it's an incentive either way in the weight room, I guess, after the game. But what are your recollections, Coach, as a player, first of all, with Thanksgiving and playing? Because I know I went to high school in Texas, and we didn't have Thanksgiving football down there. But this is amazing, and it everybody's got a story to tell. What do you remember about Thanksgiving as an athlete?
Well, I grew up in New York, so I really didn't know too much about it. I went to college and played over at Springfield College, so I got to know from stories of friends and things like that. And we were fortunate enough to be playing during Thanksgiving time frame in the playoffs over there. So I remember my friends were always talking about people went from Massachusetts about their stories and how, you know, regardless of record and everything, that Thanksgiving Day game was always the biggest one, obviously outside of Super Bowl. And, so only coaching there, no playing experience. But obviously, you hear what a great thing it is, and obviously, a lot goes into it.
So did it mess up your life when you started coaching and had to work on Thanksgiving Day?
No.
No, okay.
6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we're all doing the same thing. We're watching football later on in the day or coaching it, or doing both. So no change there. You know, it just made it a little bit more exciting, and, it all depends on how you do on Thanksgiving, on how the rest of your day will go. But it's a fun experience, and obviously, playing a good rival with a matching record makes it even better.
What's your ritual like, if you have one, in terms of Thanksgiving week? Because you got to coach, you got to probably have captains meetings and all kinds of activities, moving up to the game, and then you've got Wednesday night. I talked to one coach recently, and he said, "I don't sleep Wednesday night. I can't sleep because I'm just so geared up about the game." But everybody's got a different ritual, and then on Thanksgiving morning, that you get up early and so on. So what's it like for you as a coach?
Sure, we just kind of keep a state of course. I mean, again, being such young kids, they're going to be hyped up and ready to go. That if I start to get too excited or treat it like a different game personally, in my opinion, I think they would probably copy me, and I think they would make certain mistakes they weren't usually used to making. So I actually kind of do the opposite, and I'm not saying it's the right thing. But I'm trying to stay calm because the kids will be ready.
Yeah. I mean,
they got bigger crowds. Their families are home watching them. That, I just think, in my opinion, you're dealing with a 16, 17-year-old mind. It's much different than college or the professional level. So I just think, in my opinion, I just kind of take it like every other game. Obviously, practices, you got to stay geared up and use that extra practice time to game plan and just keep the work ethic the same and just trying to finish that on the same note you started at.
I like that. There are coaches, we're always told, even keel, the sine curve. Don't wave too high. Don't get down too low in the valley. Try to stay in the middle somewhere. But football is emotional, and I know coaches who go, they go into a deep depression if they lose a game. I mean, just if you lose a game, okay, and it I don't want to say it's extreme, but it's quite a reaction that I've seen with some coaches. Other coaches, it doesn't seem to bother too much, and they're just as successful. And it sounds to me like you're somewhere in that middle range where, you take a loss hard, you want to plan to not do it again, to improve, but you don't let it eat away at you. Am I guessing right?
Yeah, of course. I think we all want to say we're in the middle, but it depends on, there's multiple things that come into effect. If you play well and lose, usually you're not as upset, but guys don't show up or they make certain mistakes or they do certain things that can be disruptive to the team. That changes, in my opinion, alters the feeling of the win or loss even more.
Sure.
So I guess it really depends on, there's so many moving factors there, but you're trying to see if you can keel. Because again, I learned the hard way from making the mistake, but you're dealing with 16 and 17-year-old mind.
Right.
So, it's nothing you can take personal one way or the other. So.
Well, I know,
the middle, I would say.
There have been sports writers who have come into Gloucester, and I know, you know, Gloucester better than other communities. That's where my home is. And they come in as sports writers. One in particular came in from the Boston Globe, and he started writing about high school sports as though he were covering the pros. And it was nasty. You know, and if a kid made a mistake, boy, it was there, big print in the paper and so on. And I'm guessing it's probably the same way in coaching. Most coaches, when they come into it, they don't come in from the outside with no knowledge. They come in knowing that these are kids. And you've got kids who range probably from 14 to 19, probably in that range. And even a 19-year-old, man, he's still a kid.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely a change, like you said. I coached college for 8 years, and then when I came down to high school, I had some adjusting to do. Mm-hmm. Just forget with the mindset. And then this year, we only have 4 seniors.
That's amazing, yep.
Yeah, and 3 will be playing on Thanksgiving, so you're looking at that. You're even younger, so I keep forgetting there's simple things of the game that I would say that I overlook, and I got to go back and re-explain because there's some mistakes that we make and just get a start like it's the first time they're ever playing football in their life. And it was a good lesson learned for me, and, you know, I've got great assistant coaches who have gotten them ready and worked hard, too, and they deserve all the credit in the world, so... You know, just moving forward with that stuff, it's just, you know, everything's a learning experience. And being this young was a great lesson to us. And it's a big difference when you're dealing with a 16-year-old body versus an 18-year-old
mm-hmm.
body on the field. So you gotta switch some tactics up a little bit. You know, you can't, you know, do certain things that you'd like to do all the time. But, you know, you just find a way to win or at least put them in a position to be successful. So it's been a fun ride so far.
When I was a kid and first started coaching, we had an assistant principal who was so good, and I just wish I had listened to him more, like I wish I had listened to my great aunt. He would say, I would complain, geez, I've told these kids 1,000 times, and he said, you're going to have to keep telling them 1,000 times more, because that's what you have to do with these guys. And that was a new lesson for me. Coach, what's a highlight for you guys now this season? Obviously, you're very, very proud of the way the youngsters have played, and I'm sure that's probably number one on the list. But in terms of a game, in terms of how you guys have comported yourselves, what's a highlight for you guys?
Sure. I would say a highlight of the season probably isn't something to talk about too much. Is we made some mistakes this season, and we had some kids that got in trouble. And I thought, you know, and that's something that is really negative and it could be detrimental to the team. And, you know, and I think the way the kids responded and kind of, you know, came together as a group rather than point the finger and blame or do all these other things. They kind of grew up because kids make mistakes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It actually taught me something a little bit, too, because I kind of took it personally.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's shame on me as a coach, the learning experience all the time. But I thought the kids really came together, you know, and they realized that, you know, these things happen. That everybody makes mistakes. I make mistakes all the time. And, you know, moving forward from these mistakes, I think it made us stronger as a team, and I think I was pretty happy to see that because that's something that was kind of new to me, and it was kind of neat to see all the guys kind of come together and kind of build off of an issue that was there at one point and take a problem and turn it into a positive learning experience. So
great story.
That was really, really a cool thing to see.
Great story, and the kids involved directly, too. Obviously, they learn from it, and they grow, and this is... this isn't the first time I've heard this in the league. It happens in schools, and when kids can rebound and do what you just mentioned, man, that does feel good. I agree with you. All right, so we got Thanksgiving coming up, and it's Hamilton-Wenham. No secrets between you two guys.
No, absolutely not. I was actually hanging out with Coach Pugh at the Endicott Merchant Marine game, and then him and I were sitting there talking, and he's just such a good guy. And you know, obviously he does an amazing job game planning, and we know each other pretty well. We have matching records, a league title, and I think it's just going to be a fun experience. And just for the record, last year we did beat them, but we weren't seeing their starting quarterback. He got injured before that game. So, you know, and their coaches never say anything, but, you know, that was the truth of it. So this year we got to see their starting quarterback. So it's going to be a totally different challenge. Obviously totally different kids on both sides of the ball, but on both teams. But I think... you know, that's where it's going to be a fun challenge this year for us.
Well, Coach, this season went by too fast, and before you know it, we'll be talking at the end of next summer. But I'm happy things have gone so well for you at Ipswich, and I know it's a great group of kids, and I wish you nothing but the best on Thursday and for the rest of the school year.
Yeah, thank you very much, and thanks for your time and everything you do for the kids. This coverage really helps promote high school football, and it's always just a fun experience for everybody.
Well, it's you coaches and your kids, so it's great. Happy Thanksgiving, Kevin. Take care.
Yes, thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
Very well. Thank you. That is Coach Kevin Fassett of Ipswich High School, another class act, and got a million of them. We got a million of them all over the North Shore. Great story about rebounding from that. That's true. Sometimes you get kids who really disappoint you, and you're disappointed because you know they know better in whatever situation. But the fact that the other kids who may have suffered a loss, I mean, I know that that happens. Sometimes a kid makes a mistake, he doesn't get to play in a game, and or two kids or more, and team ends up losing, but the team pulls together and learns a lesson from it. So that's cool. That's I'm glad to hear that. That's nice. It's not the first time I've heard that this year either. Okay, so it's the first time I've heard it from Ipswich, just to be clear. All right, we're going to take a break, and who's next on our list? I believe it's St. Mary's football coach Sean Driscoll. Can't wait, because St. Mary's is going to the Super Bowl. All right, so we will take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute or two. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Stable businesses form the backbone of strong communities, and nothing provides greater advantage than having strong business banking professionals behind you. Since 1846, businesses on Cape Ann have leveraged the strength and stability of Cape Ann Savings Bank to grow and thrive. Let's talk about your business. Call 978-283-0246 or visit capeannsavings.bank to learn how we can help you grow your business your way. Cape Ann Savings Bank, built on stability.
Member FDIC, member DIF.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, we're back live. I'm Rick Moore. Tim Kearns is off. Tim is at a party tonight, if you can believe that. With me now is Coach Sean Driscoll. And, Coach, I know that he's probably toasting your victory. He was so excited that you guys won, and so are we. You're the last remaining school from the area, but you're going to the Super Bowl. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Give me a little highlight, Coach, about the game, because Tim was there, and I was actually in Philadelphia visiting a former student who's the vice president of the Philadelphia Flyers. So it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he hosted us. He hosted my daughter and me at the what the hell's the name of it? The Wells Fargo Center. It was just amazing, and the kid he's such a nice kid. But you know, he calls me Mr. Moore. He's the vice president of the Flyers. Like, okay, call me Mr. Moore. Yeah, so it was great. But anyway, I didn't get the story of the game, Coach. Give me a little recap on what happened.
We were playing a really athletic Cohasset team, as you know, coming off two big wins in their playoffs on the road for them, and they putting up 35 to 40 points a game. And I'll tell you, we did a nice job on slowing down their receivers, and a big part of their game, I credit to my defensive coordinator, Timmy Phelps, and my staff, worked hard for a nice game plan, and really slowed down those guys on the edge, which opened up their run game a little bit, but we recovered from a couple of big plays from there and stayed the course with what we had for a plan. And our kids played fabulous. We were fortunate we did pick up three turnovers, one big one in the second half in the third quarter. We also stopped them on a fake punt, which led to a score for us.
Excellent.
Big, big part of the game.
That was a close game, right, the score?
Yes, it was very close.
Okay.
Ended up being 22-11.
Right, okay.
And we know we started off, they started off, we held them on the goal line, they kicked the field, we went up 3-0, we came back later in the second half, scored just on the last drive of the half, 14 seconds left to go up 8-3, and the score, third period was scoreless, and then, like I said, we stopped them on a fake punt, and went down and scored on that, which was a big play.
Coach, we're not going to talk too much about the Super Bowl, because this week is about Thanksgiving, and then, of course, we're going to come visit you before the Super Bowl, and we hope to broadcast the game, so we're going to leave some of the details about Blackstone Valley. Where is Blackstone Valley?
Up by the Worcester area, just past Worcester, I believe.
Okay. Sounds like it's somewhere on Montana, Blackstone, but I okay.
Yeah.
Really.
They draw from 12 communities already.
Oh, good heavens. Oh, my. And it's Division 7. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Coach, Thanksgiving, how do you deal with that this week now? Because this is a different format, and, you know, you still have to play your Thanksgiving Day game, right?
Yes, we do. We happen to, you know, be put in a situation where we have a state championship game after that.
Right.
You know, what we're going to, we get to play our rival, Fenwick, to it, actually. Quick turnaround moment to get really two to three days to prepare.
Right.
So we'll take it from there. It's, you know, with school and the excitement, the spirit week and everything, so people are excited. And, you know, we're looking at the four new championship games, the North title, last week's game, and the Eastern Mass title, and this one for Thanksgiving for sure with the conference. So it'd be nice to try to get that right.
Coach, I don't know why my level went down here a little bit. The ritual for Thanksgiving, I don't know, does it change because you're pointing to this next game, or you know what I'm saying, in terms of preparation of the team, your practices a little bit different because you've got the state championship after that, or is it just okay? It's the usual one game at a time type thing.
Well, we gotta take it one game at a time and prepare the best we can for Bishop Frelick and the task at hand. You know, like I said, it's a short week, and I know. You know, kids in the building, the St. Mary's community is very excited about the state championship, but at the same time, we got to go for the next game and put that aside for now.
All right.
That's all bonus after that.
With your team, Coach, I mean, I know that Alex Cora, in his first year at the Red Sox, he didn't win the Manager of the Year, and it's your first year at St. Mary's. I don't know if you're going to get, but what's the most pleasant surprise with your kids in terms of what you expected when you saw them on the field first time back in August to where you are now? What's the most pleasant surprise with these guys?
Well, one of the things I was surprised about, I asked my kids and my team as a whole to try to get better, you know, every day and every week. And I think we've done that. And I think coming together as a group was a little bit of a challenge at first because we have a lot of first-year players that didn't play a lot, been in the program but didn't play a lot last year, had a great team as well. And I asked them, you know, set small goals at first, and we'll take care of the bigger picture as it goes on. And it's kind of worked out. Very, very pleased with production and how we've gotten better, especially on the defensive side of football. You know, we've gotten better with some of the little things on the year that we're making mistakes early, but the last 3 weeks or so, we played very well and very physical, and that's what we're trying to preach here.
How do the kids mesh in terms of culture? Because you got kids come from all different communities, all over the place, different neighborhoods, different towns, different culture, I guess, is what...
A lot of different backgrounds, but I will tell you, there seems to be pockets from every community here where they develop the friendships, and they kind of transfer them to one big one here, especially, I think, when you're active in extra activities, not only football, but other sports. I think you see it with other sports as well. But everything seems to mesh pretty good. That was one of my first concerns when I was having an experience dealing with something like that, and but it's worked out pretty good, and the kids do a nice job dealing with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Coach, how about you and your Thanksgiving ritual? What's it like for the Driscoll family this week? And I'm thinking in particular Wednesday and then Thursday. How do you work Thanksgiving around football?
Well, I will tell you, I'm excited. My daughter comes home from Clemson on Tuesday for the first time for Thanksgiving. First Thanksgiving she's home since she's been away, so that's an exciting time for us. But at the same time, you know, my family's been used to Thanksgiving stuff for over 20 years, and preparing and prepper and being prepared to play on Thanksgiving morning, and it's pretty much the same. They both play the game, we'll come home, we'll spend a lot of time as a family to get together. And, you know, the big difference is on Friday morning I get up and I got to start preparing for a Super Bowl, which is kind of exciting as well.
That's awesome. That is awesome. We're all so happy for you. Did your daughter go to any Clemson games?
Oh, she goes to every game.
Perfect.
She has tickets for every game out there, so she loves it.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah. Getting the whole experience. That's cool. Coach, listen, happy Thanksgiving, and I know that Tim will be seeing you at some point before before the Super Bowl. We'll do a big feature on you guys. But in the meantime, congratulations, and thanks so much for all the stuff you help us with. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Rick, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family as well.
Thank you so much, Coach. Take care.
Take care.
Yep, Sean Driscoll, who is the St. Mary's football coach, and they're headed to the Super Bowl. Had the last team standing in the area, but pretty cool. You know, the Northeast Conference, the Cape Ann League, had a good run this year. Had a lot of, and by the way, I do want to wish Tewksbury all the best. Tewksbury coach Brian Aylward and his team, boy, they played a terrific game against Danvers a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be talking with Coach Nolan about that before the Gloucester game. As soon as we post that, we'll also be talking with Coach Zerilli of Gloucester and Coach Nolan of Danvers. But we certainly wish Tewksbury well and wish them all the best against Springfield Central. Tewksbury is... you know, sort of on the North Shore, right? So we certainly hope that they bring home the trophy. They have the Division III Super Bowl coming up, I guess it's, what is it, a week from Saturday? I think. Okay, and I don't think the times have been posted yet. All right, we're going to take a break, and if everything works, we'll be talking next with the Gloucester Athletic Director, Brian LaFada, and then after we listen to Andy St. Pierre, then we're going to play Bill Newell. Bill Newell will be talking with the Salem News sports writers about all things high school football and Thanksgiving, too. So we'll be running that in just a little while. All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports.
Stable businesses form the backbone of strong communities, and nothing provides greater advantage than having strong business banking professionals behind you. Since 1846, businesses on Cape Ann have leveraged the strength and stability of Cape Ann Savings Bank to grow and thrive. Let's talk about your business. Call 978-283-0246 or visit capeannsavings.bank to learn how we can help you grow your business your way. Cape Ann Savings Bank, built on stability.
Member FDIC, member DIF.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, we're back for our final live segment here as we're talking now with the athletic director of athletics at Gloucester High School, Brian LaFada. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks, Rick. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine, and I was just talking to some of the other coaches about how quickly the football season has gone, and I know that for you it's just another ho-hum week, am I right?
Pretty much, yeah. Just wrapping up our winter sports meeting, so it's from one season right into the next. So it did fly by pretty quickly, though, for my first fall season as the AD.
Get a lot of sleep at all there, Coach, because you have been on the go. By the way, I love the new institution of all the social media information that you put out on Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff, and all the promotion you do for the kids. It's great to see so many positive stories coming out of there.
I appreciate that, and I mean, they deserve it. I want to try and do everything I can to help promote our student-athletes, what they're doing on and off the field. We had quite a few kids recognized for other academic achievements and what they do in the community. So in this day and age, social media is such a huge aspect, so I want to try and get us more involved with it. So it seems to be working pretty well.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking with Andy St. Pierre in a little while, and it's a recorded interview, and I talked to Andy about fall sports, and Danvers had such a spectacular year almost across the board. But, hey, you guys were no slouch either.
Yeah, no, we had a pretty good year. I mean, Danvers, Andy does a great job over there. He's been a great resource for myself personally, and just knowing what he's done the few years he's been there. But his their program's been great, and, our athletic program, I was very happy with how our kids performed on the field. Win or lose, and then even some of the losses were, I mean, tough ones. We were in a lot of tight games. We had several teams represent us in the postseason, and a couple of them, field hockey, football, made a good run at it. I mean, football one game away from the Super Bowl was a great job.
What's been the biggest challenge for you so far, Brian, in terms of learning the job? Because you've got a lot of administrative experience in sports. This isn't your first rodeo, but it's a little different working with high school kids. Plus, stepping into a job that someone else has just left because that person had his or her own way of dealing with things. So, give me a challenge or two that you've overcome and you're comfortable with now.
It's a day-to-day thing. Every day is different, which is great about this job. It's not monotonous. Granted, there is plenty of administrative work, but then at the same time, you get to go out to the field, or I'm looking forward to the winter going to the hockey rink or checking out a basketball game, wrestling match, whatever it might be. So it's always different. It's just a matter of, I mean, I'm looking forward to getting through the first year learning curve for all sports. Like now I feel pretty comfortable with how a fall season works. My coaching staff was great when you're dealing with juggling field times and scheduling and rescheduling games for rainouts or whatever it might be. That was definitely some of the toughest things to get used to, is trying to juggle so many things at one time. But now after one fall under my belt, I feel a little bit better. But I know it'll still always be pretty hectic, but just gaining that experience has been huge.
How difficult was it with the way the football field was, I should say the way the stadium, Newell Stadium, wasn't quite ready when school began, and some you had to do some juggling there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that was that made things interesting. But, look at the positive in it is that because a lot of other individual ADs and everything were pretty amazed that I had to step into that. And for me, it was a challenge right away. And it kind of gave me the mindset to realize as good as everything might look at one point, anything can change on a whim. And so when things seem to be going really well at a game, then all of a sudden your PA system goes out or the go off. Whatever it might be, you got to always be prepared for it is what I've realized. So to step in and have to do that right away kind of opened my eyes to that.
What's the policy, Coach, with and I still call you Coach because of your baseball experience. What's the policy now that you just had parents in for the winter sports, and you know you already went through this with the fall sports, and I know that I went to one meeting when my daughter was playing lacrosse, and one of the policies, I can't remember if it was the athletic director or the coach, but hey, don't talk to the coach until 24 hours after the game, because everybody needs a chance to decompress. If you get something on your mind as an emotional parent, just wait and then talk to them. What do you tell the parents as they come in getting ready for winter sports?
To be honest, I didn't get too much in depth with that. I kind of go over the basic policies to get all of our programs on the same page. Different coaches have different philosophies with that. Many do take the 24-hour rule into consideration now. And when you're dealing with high school athletes, we also want to have the student athletes learn to communicate. It's kind of a chain of command. We don't want to hear from the parents immediately. These student athletes are getting ready to move on to college or the real world or the armed services, whatever it might be, and mom and dad aren't going to be there for them all the time. So we'd really prefer the athlete to have a conversation with their coach. And then if it goes to the next step, that would be the next thing. The parents then talk to them. And obviously, like you said, it kind of it's not the heat of the moment. It's not right after a game, a competition, or a meet where you're just heated about it and you're not really thinking clearly. Sometimes when you sleep on it the next day, you start to understand reasons why. But like I said, all these coaches here, I mean, I coached for a long time, but I'm not going to come in and tell every coach how to run their program. And that's like tonight's meeting. I literally go 10 or 15 minutes with the entire athletic program, cover some basic policies, but then I send them off to a different part of the school, and I have the varsity coaches speak with all the athletes in their specific program about more specific things for them to focus on and more specific topics.
Sounds like you got a handle on it, Coach. That's great. Now, listen, final question I have. Is there a Thanksgiving ritual for Brian Lapata now as athletic director? Because, as you know, Thanksgiving football, I was telling this story, I don't know what it might have been to Andy. When I went to Gloucester High School for 1 year, and my senior year, the team was 0-9, and they played Danvers, and they won that game. They beat Danvers, and that was the Super Bowl for us that year. And that's how Thanksgiving is perceived in high school football. So what's the ritual for the Lapata family?
For the Lapata family, I mean, I usually, in years past, I drive all over the state for multiple families. So
okay.
This year, I don't have to do that right away because I got to go to work.
That's right, yep.
Go to a football game. My first ritual I'm going to do this year, though, already looking at the forecast, I'm going to go get some extra long johns and everything because this Thursday looks like it's going to be a chilly one out there.
It is, and I just hope they have heat up at the Danvers press box. That's all I can say, because we'll be there. I'm getting my long johns. I know there's heat in the Gloucester press box, that's for sure.
Gloucester, that's the one thing we have. Once we got the press box finally up there, there was some nice heat, nice comfortable atmosphere up there.
Most comfortable. Well, Brian, we'll talk again, and again, thank you so much for your help, and I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you on Thursday.
You as well, Rick. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
Yep.
That is Brian Lapata, who is the director of athletics at Gloucester High School. One more break, and then we'll come back with Andy St. Pierre, the athletic director at Danvers High School. And then we'll be following that with the Salem News football talk show with Bill Newell, Matt Williams, and Tim Stacey. So that's all upcoming here on NSO News Sports. I'll probably check out. Why don't I do that right now? I'm going to check out, say bye-bye for now. We do have football coming up on Thursday. It'll be Lynn English versus Lynn Classical in our traditional game. And it will be Gloucester at Danvers in our traditional game as well. We have one game on Channel 8 and the other on Channel B. We've got a lot of previews coming up this week on the website, so be sure to check out our website every day, maybe more than once or twice a day as well, because we've got new stuff getting up there all the time. So that's it for me. I'm going to take a break. We'll come back with Andy St. Pierre, and then we'll be checking in with Bill Newell. This is North Shore Sports Night, and this is NSO News Sports.
is. Including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
With the director of athletics at Danvers High School now, Andy St. Pierre. And Andy, first of all, starting off before we talk about Thanksgiving, just a great fall season for almost all of your sports, if not all of them.
Fall is typically a strong season for us here, and we're very fortunate with that. And we had another good one. We have good coaches in place and good kids, you know, and they're eager to go in the fall. And, you know, I think that they build on the success of previous years, and I think that's a special thing that we have going here. We were very fortunate with soccer. Girls soccer just lost in the North Final. That's the third year in a row they've been in that game. Football just lost a tough one to Tewksbury. We've lost it a couple times previous years, and that's also in the North Final. Golf, they won the North Final, came in second in the state in Division II. It's huge. You know, the best season they've probably ever had. You know, field hockey was really competitive this year. They lost in the first round. And then cross country, actually, both teams went 7-0 this year. With Coach Norris, it's his last year, and he won Coach of the Year for both teams. They had the Sportsmanship Award for both boys and girls. We had the Run of the Year for both boys and girls. So just an awesome year.
Yeah.
A lot of good stuff going on. We're very proud of our student athletes.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but the MIAA thing with Danvers and Tewksbury, I mean, in Division III, it's just, and then I see that they go on and have to play Duxbury next. It's this alignment thing is a little weird, but the Falcon football team did themselves proud.
Yeah, you know, you play the games that are in front of you. That's all you can do. You can do the best you can. And, you know, we have a nice little rivalry going with Tewksbury. You know, unfortunately, yeah. We've been on the tail end of that, so it's probably not much of a rivalry from their standpoint. But that's sort of the measuring stick for us football-wise right now. That's the best team in our division in this area, and that's what we're hoping to be. And we can play with them. And, you know, it's a question of just really getting over that hump. And our guys will keep working. They're not going to be defeated by it, and they're going to come back next year and, you know, look to avenge a loss like that.
When we talked to Coach Aylward in Tewksbury, and he mentioned, I asked him, geez, the Northeast Conference doesn't get to the Super Bowl without going through Tewksbury. And what he mentioned was all the losses that he's had to the conference, and he mentioned the 3 of 4 to this team and to that team. So I think they do have a rivalry, if not with Danvers specifically, with the league.
I like it. I mean, it's, you know, they're a little bigger than us. You know, their numbers are probably a little bit more, you know, in terms of bodies they have. But, you know, our kids have risen to the occasion in terms of toughness, mentally and physically. And, you know, they've matched those guys. And that's what you need to do to win at that level and dethrone a team like that. So I think it's a good thing for our kids to sort of fight for something like that and know that that's ultimately what they're looking for in beating a team like that. And then, of course, you get Gloucester right on the other end of it for us, which, you know, they've been a top of the heap for a long time in football. So, and that's always going to be a tough matchup for us, you know, regardless of size of school or anything like that or records, you know, those go out the window in that game because it's competitive, it's smash mouth, and it's two tough programs going at it. And I think that's sort of become a little bit of the identity here in Danvers over the last 4 or 5 years, and I think that's really carried this team.
It's been a terrific rivalry, and I know when Danvers broke the losing streak and they grabbed that trophy, it was a spur-of-the-moment thing, got some kids, I think, a little talking to. But from a fan's point of view and from a sports perspective, it just shows you how much meaning there is in that game.
Yeah, I mean, we had been beat down for many years before that, so, you know, that it's something that the kids don't really talk about much that I hear, but, you know, they know the losing streak, and they know what it means, and Thanksgiving, and that history and the tradition is very real with these kids still in this generation, and usually you think of the history, and you think of the older generations kind of think of that more and have more appreciation for it, but these kids fall right into that, and that was a huge win, and that was sort of a turning point, I think, for the program, because we were able to sort of ride that wave a little bit, and we've maintained a successful program. We haven't gone in the tank at all. We've ridden the wave pretty well, and we're still playing well. We're competitive, and we're in games, and you know our kids believe that they can win any game. That's a huge difference, I think, from past generations. You know, I think they believe that they can do it.
Well, you mentioned toughness, and that starts like the day after Thanksgiving for some schools, and the weight room is right outside your office. So, I mean, you see the kids in here all year round.
Yeah, they're in here a lot. You know, it's not just football. You know, it's not just hockey. We've had volleyball in here. We have track in here all the time. It's open every day from 2 to 4 for the general student body. So we have kids down here all the time. It's a beautiful facility. You know, so we're glad kids are taking advantage of it. It's important. In this day and age, you have to stay in shape, you know, especially if you're playing you know, multiple sports, you need to keep your body conditioned. And, you know, these kids, they buy into it. They have a good time in there, which is, it's not work for them. It's fun, you know, and they, you know, they don't always love it, but it's not, you're not supposed to be loving every time you're in the weight room, but they get that it's for a greater purpose and it helps them ultimately at the end of the day become better athletes and more competitive.
And you're always available. I see you, and I think that's so important from an administrative point of view, is that the guy's got to be visible, and you are in this area. It's a great setup. And I'm sure you know a lot of the kids by their first names, the thousands of them who are here. But plus they recycle through other sports. Andy, the captain's breakfast or luncheon, whatever it is next week. And traditionally, it's a time when the captains sort of meet each other and they stare across the tables at each other. But down the road, I think probably, and you would know better than I bet you some of these kids come back years later as friends rather than rivals.
Yeah, they go on to go to schools together and colleges, and they go and work together. They see each other around. You know, a lot of them know each other anyway already. You know, but it's important. It's a good reminder that the rivalry and any animosity that is had between these two schools, it's just for the field. It's for the game. You know, that's where it comes out. And everything else, that's why you can have a meal and have a luncheon and sort of celebrate the awesome rivalry that we have and the support that we have in each of our communities. That's what it's all about. And I think kids get that. They go off and they see these kids all over the place. And, you know, that's where I think it's important to remind not just the kids, but the parents and the people in the community that it's a sports rival, you know. It's competitive, but leave it between the lines, you know, because we're similar communities and we, you know, we each have a lot of pride in our communities, and that's what it's really all about, is going out and sort of, you know, making your community, making your family proud of what you do. And both these schools are trying to do just that.
Oh, absolutely. No question. And final, I got two more questions, and the first one has to do with Thanksgiving for the St. Pierre's. You have a young family. You've played sports. Thanksgiving in Eastern Massachusetts is very, very special. And give me a typical maybe Wednesday night, Thursday kind of day for the St. Pierre's.
Wednesday's low-key. I mean, when I think of Thanksgiving, I always think back in high school, my high school experience at Thanksgiving, and that was – it was the quietest day in my house because we played Xaverian and we lost more than we won that game. So,
that was
sort of a tough one. But I love the holiday. I love the time of year it comes. Everything slows down, right? It comes at a good time after a really busy fall. Wednesday night for me, you know, next week's actually pretty busy. We have luncheon and then we have our Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Wednesday is usually a pretty quiet day. It's kind of the calm before the storm. And, you know, people sort of get out of work a little early and kind of go home and just kind of relax. For the first time all fall, you get to take a deep breath and sort of get ready for the next day, which is the best day, you know, of the year, I think. You know, no one else really has anything to do except eat turkey later, but hopefully they come out to the games. In the last several years, we've had unbelievable crowds at our games. We've had great weather, which is a big factor in that, but they've been great games. You know, they've been really competitive, and I think that does a lot to sort of resurrect the rivalry, I think, at least from our standpoint, you know, and going out there and trying to do it again. That's the best part about the Thanksgiving Day holiday, and you know, I'm excited about it, and you know, hopefully the rain holds off, but,
yeah, really.
You know, we'll play it either way. You know, that's sort of the way it goes.
All right, finally, my alma mater is UMass, and they're playing Georgia this week.
Good luck to UMass.
Hello.
Good luck.
What's
to them. You know what? I give UMass a lot of credit. You know, going down there, but that's going to be an experience for those guys on UMass that they're never going to forget. Because I went to grad school down at Georgia, and, you know, that's a whole different ball game when you're talking about big-time SEC football. It's a lifestyle down there. You think, like, up here we have Bruins and Celtics and Red Sox. It's nothing compared to down there. It's a whole different mentality down there. You know what? UMass could hang in there for a while, but Georgia's got some horses, so they – look out. They're pretty good, and they've actually, you know, I think what Kirby Smart's done there has been pretty special. And, you know, he hit the recruiting trail pretty hard, and he's a bulldog himself. So he went there. He knows what it's all about down there. And he's got those guys to buy in pretty quickly. He's taking, I think it's his third year or second year down there now. And he's elevated the program, which is a pretty strong program to begin with, but he's really took it to the next level, which is special. But good luck to the men.
Yeah, really. Andy, thanks for the time, and happy Thanksgiving.
No problem. Same to you.
That is Andy St. Pierre, Director of Athletics at Danvers High School.